Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. The Early Morning Late Show. Get your day started.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour, and happy Thursday. Today is October 5th, all day. So glad you're with us. I have Dr. Peter Kapschner already in studio, but I am not turning on his microphone yet. So just sit there, drink your coffee, splash it on your face. All right, here's something that happened in England. An English man's dying wish is being denied for offensive language. Maurice Brown asked for his gravestone to be etched with the phrase, "The little bugger did his best." A line from one of his poems. However, the request was denied by the council, saying it was not appropriate for a public cemetery. Brown's grandson says he insists on completing his grandfather's wish no matter what. There you go. And the FDA is warning a granola company about the love ingredient. The Food and Drug Administration has no love for one ingredient listed on a Massachusetts-based company's granola. The agency fired off a letter recently to Nashoba Brook Bakery, chiding it for its listing love as an ingredient. I guess you can't say baked with love. I guess you can't. That's not really an ingredient, is it? So they kind of got you on that one. And this poor guy in Northern California, you know, his wife was telling him, don't buy lottery tickets. Stop wasting your money buying lottery tickets. So what he does is he buys lottery tickets and he sneaks into the bathroom and scratches them off. I'm sure Peter Kapschner does that as well. We'll talk about his habits with lottery tickets when we bring him on the air. So anyway, this poor guy is in the bathroom scratching lottery tickets, and the first one was a dud, but the next $10 ticket turned out to be the big one. He won $1 million, and he told his wife, you said I'm never going to win, and there I won. There's proof. So gotcha. Anyway, the couple said they're going to put some of their money towards retirement. So anyway. So do you ever do anything impulsive? I was thinking about getting a barbed wire tattoo on my arm, but then I opted for the invisible fence tattoo. So I've got it and nobody can see it. It's perfect. All right. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We'll take a break. And then Dr. Peter Kapschner, kind of doctor that if you need immediate help, you probably wouldn't call. Well, I know I like him. I just like him. We'll be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the show. I have Dr. Peter Kapschner in studio. He's getting to be a regular guest, which I like very much because I never know what's going to happen. Peter, welcome.
Thank you. My mic is still on. I'm still reeling from the last segment there.
I've turned it on now.
I really appreciate that. Where do you find these headlines, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. Paul gives them to me. And, you know, Paul, that boy ain't right.
Yeah, no, that's clear on that, yes.
Yeah, oh, now he just peers through the window looking at me like, you want a piece of me, huh? Oh yeah, bring it on. There we go, schoolboy, bring it on. There we go. All right. No, Peter, you're a professor here of practical theology here at the University of Northwestern, and I know your students love you.
It is. It's been a fun journey over the last 6 years here. I have to say, it's not hard to get up in the morning to be a part of the classes.
I bet. So when you get to know the students here at University of Northwestern, I'm curious as to what you might be learning from them. Do kids in general, what is with scary experiences? Do you know anything about this, like why people love thrill rides or why they want to go to scary movies? You know, scary movies don't scare me anymore. What scares me now are like commercials for toenail fungus.
Yeah, you know? Well, and it's funny, we actually were talking about the movie It in one of our classes. I was just dumbfounded. I have absolutely no desire to see this movie. I remember back in the Nightmare on Elm Street days that I think I didn't sleep for about 2 years after that. and so I think I got over it a bit, but I'm amazed that it is all the rage right now. But what's funny, among the young people and they're believers and they don't really know for sure, should they see it or should they not? And they go see it and then they come and they're terrified by it. And it's a really interesting thing to watch with them.
Yeah. I mean, I see the ad for It and it's a clown looking through a drain sewer. Yeah. Well, you really can't get me if you're underneath the street looking through the drain sewer.
I am terrified of clowns, but I am glad when the bars of the sewer are in the way. So
But what, you know, do you know what motivates kids to want to have these super scary experiences, or adults for that matter?
Yeah.
I have no interest in that.
Yeah, I think truly the adrenaline is running at pretty high levels among the young people that I just don't experience anymore. I don't, even going off of high diving boards anymore, it doesn't create the same kind of adrenaline.
No.
Or tall, scary, fast rides don't do it the way they used to. And I don't know what that's about, but clearly there is this sense of almost adrenaline and kind of, they just haven't seen this stuff before, and so it really, it impacts them, for sure.
Is it a controlled loss of control?
That's probably, they feel so out of control these days anyway with the speed of our culture, and so I, you know, maybe, but it's, I do notice that they don't have a real sense of, what would be the word, just sort of a peace in life these days. They're running from one thing to the next, and you just wonder if it's not a two-hour diversion of some kind.
Yeah, and speed of our culture is an interesting phrase you just threw out there, because you know, last week I had never heard the word bump stock before. Now I'm coming on the air every day talking about it like I'm some expert.
So tell me, bump stock. Now this is new to me. You're going to have to help me out here.
Bump stock. Okay, that's some, you know, a modification you do to a semi-automatic rifle that turns it into an automatic rifle.
Yeah, I heard that phrase just bit earlier this week.
Now everybody's talking about it like they're an expert on bump stocks.
Yes, I know. And, you know, and that whole, this is part of it for the young people too. And I really was struck with it last night when my daughter came home from youth group. And I don't remember all the stuff we used to talk about when we came home from youth group, but it's 10:15, 10:30 at night, and she comes wandering in through the door and howling, barely. And that was just, I'm barely up, and she comes in, and that's part of what they had to talk about at youth group last night was the events of Vegas.
Sure.
And I just, for all the practical theology I supposedly have, it's difficult to know how in a real life conversation to help navigate this with our kids. And that's part of her world. That was to some degree part of my world, but not to the extent that it is now.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what they are having conversations about and stuff that feels like very adult stuff. And can't kids be kids for a while?
Just a little longer. Yeah. And watching her bright eyes try to figure out why this could possibly be the case, and trying to navigate her view of God relative to these things. There were big questions at 10:30 last night, and justifiably so.
Yeah. That seems awfully late. Anyway, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, well, you know, we're really good parents, but we'll stay up until all hours on behalf of you. I would never fall asleep on the couch at 9:45, never.
You'll put on a pot of coffee for the kids at 11?
For sure, because I'm going to be up watching Nightmare on Elm Street with them at about 11.
Right.
So, yeah, we get started then.
That's right. All right, let's talk about the way we phrase stuff. Now, this is just theoretical, but is murder against the law because it's wrong? Or is it wrong because it's against the law?
Mm.
Is murder against the law because it's wrong? Or is it wrong because it's against the law? Because if it's wrong because it's against the law, we can just change the law.
We could.
That's
true. And, you know, in terms of the origin of some of these laws that we have, there is always this appeal to the fact that God has set things up in the world in a certain kind of way. And we are just articulating or making laws out of what already is part of the fabric of our world. And so if you have that, you could change a law, but you can't change the law,
as it were.
The question is are your laws consistent with the realities of God's kingdom, or do they diverge from that? And so in all of these nuances and these name games, we can try to get away from some certain things that seem to be hardwired into our world.
Mm-hmm. All right, Peter, I want to talk a little bit, get a conversation started with something, because I know you teach a course on sexuality.
I do, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's well attended.
It is.
As far as you know.
As far as usually, yeah, it depends on the morning, but yeah, and I'll be there in about 45 minutes, again, getting started with this stuff.
Okay, and I'm sure kids have got, students have a million questions all the time.
They do, every class period, and when I open it up just purely for questions, and I do about twice a term, I will let them just ask their questions for an hour and 40 minutes, and it's nonstop.
And do you have back sweat?
Yeah, I come in with back sweat on those days. It just goes downhill from there.
I do want to talk about the gender issue, because I was, you know, interested in this fight that happened a while ago with Fallon Fox, who took on Tamara Brents, and she's a very qualified, very strong woman,
right?
And Fallon Fox is transgender,
right?
And she, Fallon Fox, sent her to the hospital.
Saw that.
With 7 fractures in her skull. So I don't know. I watched a little of that fight, and I had to turn it off and look away, because I thought, oh my gosh, it looks like a man beating up a woman.
It is, yeah. And if we were, in most cases, if we were to look at that situation, we would call that abuse. Mm-hmm. And yet, because there can be a changing definition according to how somebody identifies mm-hmm. themselves on a given day or year or trajectory moving forward, then it creates these kind of scenarios where how do you possibly figure out how to think about these things when the definitions have changed?
When you see this this person identify, born a man, identifies as a woman, and then starts fighting women.
Right.
And the fighter, Tamara, said, "I've never felt so overpowered in my life."
Yeah.
Because.
I remember there was the sprinter who won some gold medals that, there's some ambiguity around the gender and there's a lot of confusion. Yes. And in terms of just the playing field itself, much mm-hmm. less just the, obviously the fractures and the horror of what was perpetrated in that kind of situation. When we blur these lines the way that we do, and it's increasingly so, and it's getting to be more and more the rage in academia to blur these lines, that is sort of the enlightened view on that. Yeah, we end up bracketing off these real life kinds of stories about how it actually plays out in a minute to minute experience.
Mm-hmm. Peter, let me take a break. And when we return, hopefully we'll both be back.
Yes.
And not just 15 minutes of Muzak.
I am going to be scratching off my lottery tickets here.
Awesome. Okay, so, I'll be back in a
wonderful.
Minute. Dr. Peter Kapsner in studio. It is 16 minutes after the hour. Be right back.
The rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. I praise your name, lift our voices and proclaim.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning. Bill Arnold here. It's 18 minutes after the hour. I'm speaking to Dr. Peter Kapsner. He's in studio with me. And I'm not saying he's a little odd, but he does ask the cashier to bag his groceries alphabetically. And frankly, I've never seen that done before.
Yeah, I had understood that can be an OCD kind of characteristic, but I'm sort of just in denial about that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. When they start with the apples, I couldn't be more excited.
I know,
it just
thrilled.
Hits me home, yeah, right in the deepest part of who I am. So, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the obvious story of the week, and of course that is the shooting in Las Vegas. What has been your reaction and that of your students?
Yeah, and that's, I mentioned a little bit of it in the first segment there that, and I'm sure covered a lot of ground this week with this topic in terms of the Bay.
We have covered a lot of ground.
Yeah,
it's kind of
sure.
depressing, actually.
Yeah, it really is. And there's all the angles that we look at in the situation. But for me, it really did hit home in that minute-to-minute life, like I mentioned with my daughter last night,
mm-hmm.
and having to go from what we're watching on TV to talking about what it means. And I I'd love to say all of what people say, which is not going to change our way of life. It's not going to change the way we do things. But I remember we were in Edinburgh in Scotland over the holidays last year, and we were with my five kids and my wife, and we're watching this beautiful festival of lights in downtown Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It just couldn't be a more magical moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there was part of me, as Hallie and I were walking through the situation, it did change our way of life because we had to walk through significant security even mm-hmm. to get into this place of wonder and beauty, and we began to position ourselves outside of the mob of the crowd so that if somebody came through the truck because some of the events
wow.
of France had just happened,
yeah,
it was all the little subtleties that
sure.
I realized my life has been adjusted no matter how much I want to scream and shout that it won't. It has, and it does. And thinking about these things, these are not thoughts I had 20 years ago when I would go out in public, but increasingly so, unfortunately, it's getting to be the case.
Mm-hmm. There's an article from the FBI saying there's no evidence so far that terrorism was the aim of the Las Vegas mass shooting. I don't even know what terrorism means if that wasn't terrorism,
yeah.
unless you have to be linked to some terror organization. But to me, you're producing terror like nobody's business.
Yeah, if terror simply means being afraid, I hate to say it, but there's being afraid. And again, with the cliches of our faith, thankfully they do matter at the end of the day, that this world isn't our home. And it doesn't mean we don't strive to make it a place of peace and shalom. We should. But at the same time, there's a bigger story going on. And that's the only place that I can anchor any sense of peace, is that there's future beyond all of this. But that doesn't change the day-to-day fear that I will have at times, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. When you think of the presence of evil in the world and in evil that lives in the people's hearts who don't know Christ, I mean, it doesn't matter what we ban and what we say we can't have and what you can't do. It's going to happen in some way, isn't it?
It is. And that's just that's the part of the puzzle that, again, it makes following Jesus for me something that is eternally worthwhile, because I don't know where I would rest my anxiety at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, all of that, if I didn't have faith. And so that piece of it, I can't imagine trying to figure all of this stuff out if this is all we have, is mm-hmm. this world. And again, it doesn't mean we sing Kumbaya on a boat in the middle of a lake somewhere
why
and try
not?
To escape it all. Well, we could. We could. Well, I can't sing, number one, so that's prohibitive.
Yeah.
But how
and
do
you
we
play
engage?
The ukulele, don't you?
I
so
do,
we can't
yeah. Well, just
sing
during,
that song to a
yeah,
ukulele
but,
ever.
I know. And during break when I was playing that and you busted out in song, I mean,
yeah,
it was
a beautiful moment.
It really was.
Yeah,
I mean, my heart resonated like the apple
you.
Deal in
exactly.
the bag. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
But there was about 330 million people in the U.S. and approximately 300 million guns. So, what do we do with that? Would it just be easier to get rid of people?
Yeah. That on some days, that might feel helpful. But I was in a class last Thursday night, actually, and one of my students said that she was just getting her conceal and carry mm-hmm. permit, and it had to make me think as a prof a little bit, even in that class. So is there a student that's going to come in with a gun into the classroom? I know they're banned, but that doesn't mean much these days. And it's, you know, it changes you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point. I mean, if there's guns in the classroom,
yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, and I'm not saying yay or nay to the legislation part of it. All I know is that when I read probably 4 headlines a year about a disgruntled student that takes it out on their professor, and classrooms can be places where you're talking about some tricky subjects and trying to go both sides with conversations, but yet students can get pretty energetic in the classroom, and you just think, how quick can something like that happen? It mm-hmm. really does. It makes you pause.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that we need to take advantage as best we can? I don't even like using that expression, take advantage, but this is another opportunity that has come up that encourages Christians to have a conversation with people as we discuss world events, that Christ is still supreme and sovereign,
yeah.
and that if you have never had an opportunity to get right with God, boy, isn't now the time when things can change so quickly.
It is. When things are not so, I guess the word would be conflated between church and culture, where they kind of look the same, where culture begins to look slightly different than what the church can and should look like as this beautiful sort of redemptive community of love, it does create more space then, because the evil and the darkness gets more obvious, and, mm-hmm. and it gets... It's easier to sort of proclaim this beautiful reality of hope and light and love, and Jesus died to break us free from all of this. It gives a better opportunity in some ways. I heard somebody chart out the difference between Christendom, which is when a culture kind of thinks that it's Christian, versus Christianity, which is the people that they've given their whole lives for following Jesus. And to the extent that Christendom kind of falls away and reveals sort of the darkness of our world, Christianity really has an opportunity to speak. And so even in the midst of all this fear and turmoil, there's tremendous opportunity to call people to Jesus in this.
Peter, I always enjoy you coming in and having conversations. I'm always amazed at how you can process information, and you can take what I throw at you and come back with great responses. And you're just a delight to have in the studio.
It's wonderful to be here, Bill.
Yeah, and I'm sorry about the alphabetical grocery bagging stuff. That's not going to improve
yeah,
over time.
I struggled this morning because I kept thinking about chocolate before bananas,
yeah.
and now I don't even know what I can teach. I'm a little
bit
wrecked by this.
I know,
so,
and then the ukulele playing is not improving. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you were kind of...
There's hope.
There was a little B chord there I could see you trying to make, and
yeah.
your fingers just weren't doing it.
I can't get my brain to talk to my fingers right with making those notes. It kills me.
Well, have a great day, and I'll
Thanks.
See you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Dr. Peter Kapsner in studio. We'll take a break and come back with more. We've got a nice interview coming up with my friend, Dr. Mark Wickstrom. I recorded that live from the Square Banana. That will only mean something to a few people. Be back in a minute.
Gray skies are gonna clear up. Put on a happy face.
Oh, Mr. Bennett. I met him in Dublin one day. It was quite a thrill. Anyway, we're going to take a short break for news, and then at 20 minutes until the top of the hour, Dr. Mark Wickstrom, recorded live from the Square Banana. We'll be back in a minute.
You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile.
Good morning, 25 minutes until the top of the hour. The Bible has much to say about the numerous blessings we receive when we genuinely love God with our whole heart. Here's Pastor Rob Morgan.
I looked up every reference in the Bible about the way that we should love God, and there are a lot of ways about how we are to love Him, but the longest list were the promises that come to people who really love the Lord their God with all their strength. It says that if you love the Lord, He will show His love to us for 1,000 generations, that if we love Him, He will send rain in its season, that if we love Him, He would become our very life, that He would make us like the sun rising in its strength, that He would turn to us and have mercy on us, that He watches over those who love Him, that He makes His home with those who love Him. Romans 8:28 says that He works all things for the good of those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that He prepares things for us that are beyond what our eyes have seen or what our ears have heard if we love Him. And James 1:12 says He bestows the crown of life on those who love Him. You know, the great blessings of the Christian life just come from loving Him, and even a child can do that.
If you want to hear that entire interview from Rob Morgan, who's both a pastor and an author and has been on the show several times, you can go to myfaithradio.com and check that out. Type in Rob Morgan or Joy Choice. Take a short break, and then Dr. Mark Wickstrom, my good friend, my youth pastor from way, 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 way long ago. Be back in a minute.
Dealing with a teen whose behavior is inappropriate and whose life is spinning out of control takes a parent who's focused. I mean, focused like a laser. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Your teen will try and distract you by acting out, but don't be fooled. There's something else going on beneath the surface. As a mom or dad, it's your job to look beyond the behavior to the source of rebellion. Perhaps your child is grieving the loss of a relationship or dream. What's happening on the outside can give us clues to the real pain on the inside. So as much as your teen's behavior is rocking your world, take time to carefully study what's really going on. Once you identify the source, the healing can begin.
Mark Gregston is the author of a brand new book for grandparents titled Leaving a Legacy of Hope. Learn more. Go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
Welcome back to the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold here. Say, I have had a long-time relationship with Dr. Mark Wickstrom. He's the pastor of Community Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm not saying that I'm old, but I was in Mark's youth group, so that must mean he's old. But I say that with love. He's on our studio line this morning. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Bill. And you aren't old, and neither am I.
Good defense. Yeah, but we do go back a long time, and I was always so drawn to your ministry and your love for kids and the way you had such an impact on so many people. And I know I have several friends listening that are friends of yours as well, guys like Jack and Joe and guys that we were in Bible studies together as kids, and you just loved every kid where they were at and had time for everybody. So can I just sit and gush a little bit?
You know, I'm going to let you do that. Feels pretty good. Affirmation is not a bad thing.
It's really not. But I know that you're now out pastoring a church, Community Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, which, from my understanding, from what you said, is about 5 miles from Mandalay Bay, where the shooting took place.
That is correct. So, 5 miles east on Tropicana.
Yeah, so we're just real anxious to get some kind of on the ground reports from what the church is doing in the midst of this crisis.
Well, Sunday night, obviously, when 22,000 people were gathered to have a pleasant evening, the image I've been using with my folks has been that there was an act of evil, and pure and simple, and what that person chose to do was push a boulder into the lake that is our community.
Mm-hmm.
And as that lake experienced that explosion, you know, bullets raining down on innocent people, it was pandemonium. The folks, I had some members from our church who were at the concert. They had, some of those folks have had friends who were wounded. One young lady has had a good friend who was one of the victims that was killed in the rain of fire. So it was a horrible boulder that crashed into the lake, but the ripples that it has created have been nothing but good. In fact, it's been almost overpowering for the city. And I think it's caught people off guard. And it reminds me so much of Romans 8:28. You know, all things can work together for good for those who are in relationship with God. And then I think it's so interesting when people think, well, how can anything good come from this? In the 3 days since the event, the ripples of mercy and grace and kindness that have been emanating from this community has been absolutely overwhelming for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So some examples would be that at Ground Zero, when the firing was taking place, there were people who suddenly chose to be shields. I mean, they chose to put people that they loved underneath them, or they chose to put people underneath grandstands that they were trying to protect. And they didn't go to the concert thinking they were going to be a hero. And yet, in the moment of suddenly bullets are raining down, bullets are raining down on these folks, and they chose to be a hero. There were folks who they interviewed on Monday morning that had a pickup truck, and suddenly the back of their pickup truck, they filled it with wounded people and took them to local hospitals because the EMTs couldn't get to everybody. And they didn't go to the concert thinking they were going to be an ambulance, but they were moved to do that. It was interesting. Somebody on Monday set up a GoFundMe account for victims. And they've been receiving about $1 million a day in contributions. Over 55,000 people have contributed. And there isn't a single one of those folks who on Saturday thought they were going to be contributing to a cause on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I mean, but to me, that's the spirit of God at work.
Wow.
The Spirit moves people to do things that of kindness, caring, that they never would have dreamed they would do. And this is across denominations. This is across religious backgrounds. I mean, the thing that's so beautiful about when the Spirit's moving, and it really has to say the Spirit's moving in Las Vegas in this the aftermath. But again, the ripples are just going out. So if you can believe this, I heard from people from my youth group from decades ago from Minnesota who contacted me, and I haven't had a chance to chat with you in years, but yet the ripple touched you to contact me.
Yeah. Well, Mark, the verse that I shared yesterday on the show was Proverbs 27:1 that says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." And some of the stories you just shared are really evidence of that. I mean, people did not know they would be doing what they were doing, but they instantly stood up and tried to do the right thing, and their instincts were pretty powerful.
Right. And the thing that's interesting, well, another example was obviously with so many injured, blood is a big issue. Mm-hmm. So one of my staff members is 22, wanted to give blood. So Monday he went down to the blood bank, stood outside in a long line of people for 8 hours. Now, it's still 91 degrees here in Las Vegas. So he said that while he was in line, suddenly restaurants showed up and distributed food to people who were waiting in line, just gave it to them. People came out of an Albertsons grocery store, and they would hand out water to people who were waiting in line. A store came out and brought out umbrellas to kind of give them some shade because 91 is still hot and sunny here.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these acts of caring and kindness are going on randomly. People are just coming up. He waited in line for 8 hours. When he finally got to the front of the line, they'd run out of kits. So he didn't get to give. But he said, "I did hand out water all day, and I did hand out food, and I did." So he felt like he was doing something. But did he think on Saturday that he was going to want to stand in line to do this? I mean, it's the Spirit of God, when it's at work, I think really draws people to be merciful and kind and do acts of caring and kindness that they may or may not have intended early in the day. You know, people, there was a guy who showed up from L.A. who wanted to do something, so he arranged some ExecuJet flights for people who needed to get out of town. And I actually had an email yesterday from a couple who live in Paris, France, who I did their wedding blessing back in 2007 here in Vegas, but they were reaching out in prayers and concern and kindness. I mean, the ripples that have been emanating out from this disaster are all the way to Europe for me.
Yeah.
I'm just one person in the city of a million plus. So.
Yeah. Mark, let me take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to continue the conversation. I love the metaphor of the boulder crashing into the water, that being the evil act, and then the ripples of grace and mercy that have emanated from that. I'm talking to Mark Wickstrom, pastor of Community Lutheran Church in sunny Las Vegas. Be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have on my studio line Dr. Mark Wickstrom, a pastor of Community Lutheran Church in Las Vegas. And we're trying to get a firsthand report as to what the church is doing and how they're making a difference for the people in Las Vegas right now. I know the town must be absolutely rattled by this and the hysteria. But what I love hearing, Mark, is the ripple effect. And I hate to think that it takes a gigantic, ugly crisis for people to start, you know, actively loving each other and caring about each other and doing such selfless acts for one another.
It is an interesting dilemma for us to recognize that we can walk by each other every day if there's not a crisis. But when there is a crisis, suddenly those are people, or those are people with needs. And I think when the Spirit of God is moving, and it does in a sweeping way like this, the ripple effect, I think, really touches people. And I would say there are hundreds of churches in the Valley that have been offering prayer services, and we're doing the same again tonight and tomorrow night. Our youth director had a lot of kids who, her observation I thought was a very helpful one for me. For kids of this generation, this is their 9/11. Their experience of tragedy that's out of their control and kind of, wow, this can happen to anybody, anytime, any place. And so she's been processing with kids and obviously offering counseling, and all of us have been doing that on our staff. But I think what was interesting was she said kids really wanted to do something. And I think that's probably the human response to seeing somebody else's need is, and when the Spirit of God is involved, you want to do the act of caring and kindness. Well,
yeah.
Kids were too young to give blood. You have to be at least 18.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they're making chocolate chip cookies, they're making grateful bags, they're making cards of thanks. They're going to put these little bags together, and they're going to take them to the police precincts, to the EMT stations, to the fire stations, and to the hospital emergency rooms to just drop them off and say, thank you. Thank you for what you did.
I'm just,
so to me, it's a wonderful way for kids to do something tangible. And the cookies are good, so I mean, you know, not going to want to get a cookie.
Yeah, you get a chance to taste some of them just to make sure they're safe to be released into the public.
I made sure I was on that committee that had to make sure these can go out. It's a crummy job.
It is.
Somebody has to do it.
So, Mark, let's talk just a little bit about when an opportunity like this presents itself. The gospel is now something that people may be listening to more readily, or might they be saying, how could a God allow this to happen? Or yes to both.
The fact that there's evil in the world, I send out an email to all of my parishioners just saying evil is everywhere. People can make poor choices, and I think the reality is terrorist attacks can happen in London or Paris, and single folks can make very poor choices in Las Vegas by themselves. I mean, the fact that we have imperfect people everywhere who make imperfect decisions with imperfect information is just a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That is the human condition. Did God cause this to happen? Absolutely not. But once the boulder was pushed, God's presence is felt in the ripples of kindness and caring and the acts of kindness that have been emanating from that event. And they're not going to stop for weeks,
mm-hmm.
and maybe months.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the power of the gospel. No matter how bad the evil was, the goodness that is emanating from it is is far more than what anybody would have dreamed or imagined.
Mm-hmm. Mark,
so to me, that's what Paul was talking about in Romans, that everything, even though something evil can happen, God can use that to make it good.
Mm-hmm. Mark, have there been messages that have gone up on marquees that would normally be used for advertising a show? Are you seeing that going on in Las Vegas as well?
I have not. Those of us who live in Vegas don't go down to the Strip that often, okay, unless we're going to concerts and things.
Yeah.
But I think the reality is the community itself, the newspapers, the coverage that we've received. I believe the president's coming in today. But I think the reality is it's drawn a lot of attention. And I think folks have responded in the community with, what can I do? What can I do to help? There is a genuine desire to help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the Spirit of God at work in people's lives.
Yeah. Anything else that has gone on in this last several days that really took you by surprise?
I think it was, from my vantage point, seeing so many people going to prayer services. It reminds me of 9/11.
Sure.
When we were all offering, every church was offering prayer services, but people really wanted to get together, and they wanted to pray. And again, there may be people who haven't prayed in years. They may not know how to pray. I send out a little prayer to my parishioners that they weren't sure what to pray for. Here are some things you can pray about.
Uh-huh.
Specifically, pray for wisdom for the doctors and healing for those that are injured, and pray for those that are grieving the death of a loved one. And I also added that we need to pray for strength for the medical people and thank God for the courage of the folks who stepped in and from law enforcement, but also mercy for the family of the shooter.
Mm, yeah, right.
Poor family, they're suddenly blindsided from what they've said, totally blindsided by actions and activity of someone they thought they knew who had a completely different side of life.
Mm.
So those folks need some mercy and grace, particularly.
Yeah. I also saw a story, Mark, on CNN of a guy who said, I clearly went to the concert that night an agnostic, and now today I'm a strong believer in God because there's no way I could have survived it without that kind of protection, that God does exist, and he was looking out for me.
Awesome. The Spirit of God touched him in a way he didn't. He didn't go to a concert expecting to have a religious experience.
No, that's so true. And I love your metaphor, Mark. I'm going to be thinking about this one for the rest of the day, the idea that the boulder goes into the water, and that's the evil and the pain, but then the ripples continue to be filled with grace and mercy and kindness and people loving each other, and they're just thinking about what they can do to help. It's pretty powerful.
Well, praise God for the image, and more importantly, praise God for the promise that Romans 8:28 gives us.
I love it.
We can expect good to emanate from any evil.
Yes. Now, Mark, before we go, do you have anyone you want to say hi to after so many years here in Minnesota at St. Andrews and Edina, and anything else? You just want to say hi to anyone?
Well, I'd love to say hi to all of my daughters who live in the Twin Cities.
Awesome.
I have lots of friends at St. Andrews and at Colonial Church.
Yeah.
And friends from the old Young Life days.
Yeah.
And a special thank you to you, Bill, for reaching out and making a connection out there all these years. And you still have the best comedy act in town.
You are a legend, my friend, and I was so glad that I was
keep
able to...
Keep the rumor alive.
Exactly. Mark, thanks so much. Have a great rest of the week, and God bless.
Lord bless you, too.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Yep, I've been talking to Mark Wickstrom, pastor of Community Lutheran Church in Las Vegas. We'll take a short break and be back with more. Thanks for listening this morning. That wraps up the big show. Tomorrow we've got a great program scheduled. Our Friday morning, Carmen LaBurge, we'll be having her on at about 6:10, so we look forward to her, and then Dr. Rosemary Stein's going to be with us, Adam Holtz. We got a great lineup for tomorrow, so tune in and have a great rest of the day. I'll see you in the morning. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.